Health Podcast. This is the show that helps you build your best body without losing your mind. If you are enjoying the show and have been listening for a while, thank you. I appreciate it a lot. If you're new to the show, welcome. And please, if you're enjoying it, leave a great 5-star review. Hit the subscribe button. It really means a lot. And I also just love, you know, even if you don't do that, just reach out. Reach out on Instagram. Shoot me a DM, leave a comment. I love connecting with you guys and hearing the amazing results you guys are getting from the advice that you're taking every day and doing it yourself. And then, you know, I just love hearing that you're finding this helpful. That's really the purpose of this. And if it's not helpful, then please let me know, because I got to make sure I'm changing it up. But I appreciate you all very much. Now, today's topic is a very important one. Something that I definitely struggled with myself for a long time, and something that I see a lot of clients walk in through the door with. And I think it's a very common thing that we all talk about, but there's not necessarily a lot of actionable solutions to it. And I think there's a lot of different opinions on why this happens, but I kind of wanted to give a little bit of a different take, and just the idea of, you know, the all or nothing mentality. So we talk about this a lot. A lot of people, you know, self-identify with that they have an all or nothing tendencies and mentality. And I've really thought a lot personally about what is that? Like, why do we have this thing? Why does that tend to happen? And, you know, I think there's a wide array of perspectives of why this happens. I think some people's beliefs is that there is no all or nothing mentality. It's really just an excuse to do nothing, which maybe sometimes it is. You know, I think that's okay to admit sometimes too. But for me, I probably in the past have used it as an excuse to procrastinate actually taking action. Right? It's easier to say, well, yeah, I want to make sure it's perfect before I actually get started on it. But that's a little bit different. If you're like, you know, let's say you're saying, oh, I really want to work out better. I need the right plan, or like, you know, I got to start this company, but it's just not the right timing. That's probably a little bit of, you know, just delaying the actual action, which is, I get it. Trust me. When I wanted to start Wise and Well, it took me probably 10 years of thinking about it and all the things I could do. And it was always something I put off in the back of my head, because it was like, well, yeah, but I mean, there's so many things you have to do to actually get that started. And it's funny, because once it actually started, it took like 20 seconds to just hit a post. And obviously there's a lot of work that's come since then, but, I would say just starting it was the hardest thing of all, for sure. So there's a little bit of that. I think, you know, we do let the all or nothing mentality become an excuse in our own heads, but I do think there's something completely different when you are doing the things, right? Like, you are trying, and maybe it's a new workout, or, you know, you're trying to eat better and you want to lose weight, or you want to build some muscle, and all these, you know, you have these goals and you do keep taking action, but it's like you have these periods where you're all in, you're feeling really, really good, and you're making a lot of progress. But then it's inevitably, you always kind of fall back into the same place where it's like, you're doing nothing again. Right. And that, I think, is very common. And that, I think, to me, is a little bit different than, you know, using it as an excuse. I think that there's a couple of things in my perspective, from if I look at my own personal life, and then I also look at a lot of the clients that I've worked with, there's a few things that I think lead us to this continuous cycle of all or nothing. And you might recognize this, you know, within workouts, you might recognize this, like, I think yo-yo dieting, right? A lot of times is a very common example of this. But I think if we talk about what are really the pieces that lead us down this path of thinking all or nothing, it's not necessarily willpower, or discipline. Like, I don't maybe for some people, maybe in some cases, but I don't think that explains all of it. I don't think it's just that, well, you know, I always just fall back into nothing because I just wasn't disciplined enough or I didn't have enough willpower. I think that the number one reason we fall into all or nothing tendencies is boils down to one thing. And that one thing has a few branches of different ways you can go, but I think it all kind of stems from this one piece. And that is that our expectations don't align with our reality. And what that means could be a few different things. So the first one is you might believe it requires efforts that are completely not real to achieve the results that you're aiming for. So basically saying you believe that, you know, let's say weight loss is the goal. In your head, it's, you know, maybe you think, well, yeah, I have to eat clean 100% of the time, right? Like I can't go out to eat, or I have to go work out 6 days a week and I have to run on a treadmill every day. And I hate doing that. Right. I've had so many people who have reached out to me on Instagram and we'd just be chatting and, you know, they say, yeah, no, I really do want to lose weight, but I just love carbs too much. And from my perspective, the first thing is, I think is like, okay, great. Well, you can definitely still lose weight and eat carbs. And, you know, I think a lot of this is we make up these scenarios in our head of what it's going to take to achieve our goal. And it's these scenarios in our head are they're just way too extreme. So of course you're not going to do that. Of course you're not going to go run on a treadmill every day for an hour when you work 50 hours a week and have a family at home, right? Of course, you're not going to eat clean and avoid all sugar and all seed oils and whatever you want to think is the boogeyman when you've got kids and they want to go out to McDonald's and just like on the way home from work one day, right? Because it's already late. I think a big piece of this is understanding that you have to first figure out what does it actually take to get your results, to understand if it's even something that is achievable and something that you want to do. You know, for me, this is like, I think back to 10 years ago when I was really, you know, like I've told this story multiple times before, so I won't go deep into it, but gaining some weight in college, coming out of it, like really focused on trying to stay fit and making sure that, you know, I was not going to go down that route and I wanted it to be skinny and stay lean. That was my goal back then for sure. And that was basically when Beachbody took over the world. So P90X, Insanity, T25. And these are, if you've never done those, there are all these workout programs that's basically just really, really fast-paced HIIT workouts. They just get you super sweaty. They're very hard to actually complete because it's a lot of endurance training, like holding positions and doing moves for 30 seconds. They're not the best for building muscle by any means. Like they're good cardio workouts, but it's a lot of like body weight stuff. There's some with weights, but it's never going to replace strength training. So it's, you know, if, in my opinion, a lot of it is very almost misleading in a way, just because the way it's marketed is very much like there's always these jacked instructors in it who have just tons of muscle mass, you know, six pack abs. And they are marketing this as like, it's going to burn a bunch of fat and it's going to get you ripped. Right. And they have all these before and after photos of people who do it. But like the reality is that doing that workout, but, and it's always like, it was always like 5 or 6 days a week too. I think T25 was 25 minutes a day, but Insanity was like 45 minutes of intense HIIT workouts. And they made it seem like if you just do these workouts every day, you know, for I think those 3 month cycles, basically you're going to look like all these people in the pictures, right? And you're going to look just like the instructors. And that's just not true in any way, shape, or form. Because one, they had nothing to do with nutrition. Two, it's not the best or optimal way to build muscle mass, which is what's going to make you look more jacked, like they're trying, like they're promising. So I think part of it was the expectations that they created weren't real. But from my perspective, that's what I assumed you had to do. You know, like I was like, this is awesome. Like the program is super simple. You just do these workouts. And as long as I just do all of them, I'm going to look just like the instructors in that video. Right. Like I firmly believe that. And every time I would try one, I would get, you know, it would always be like a epiphany moment, right? Where you're like, okay, I'm starting this. I'm doing this on Monday. I'm doing it all the way through. Like this is happening. Right. And every time I would do that, you would go, the first month was always pretty easy to a degree. Like it wasn't, maybe not easy, but it was definitely doable. And like, I would get like 3 weeks in, I'm like feeling good. I would hit all the workouts. Maybe I would get to month two, or maybe it'd be like at the end of month one that inevitably I just missed a workout, right? Like it's life. I was working full time in an office, going into the office every day. I was tired from work and working all day. And I was also going out a lot back then on the weekends and probably drinking way too much. So I wasn't feeling the best. And the reality is like, there would be days where I just didn't get the workout in. And every single time that would happen, it's like in my head, for some reason, I believed like that was it. I already screwed it up. And so I would stop. I would just not do the workouts because I already missed, you know, a couple. Like if I had two or three bad days in a row, I'd be like, all right, well, that's it. You know, which is like in reality, if you think about it logically, like, of course, the easiest answer is just do the next workout 4 days later or 5 days later, or miss the week and just start over just not start over, but keep going the next week. Like that's the logical answer. But for some reason in my head, it was like, I'm either doing this 100% as it's laid out in the program, or it's not even worth it, which makes no sense at all. But that is just a really good example, because whenever I would stop, it's like, then I would just do nothing. Like I wouldn't work out pretty much at all. Like maybe I would get like one kind of week workout in a week, or, you know, go for a run randomly. And then I would, you know, eventually start getting pissed off of myself and start feeling guilty and do the whole cycle all over again. So that's one example of not having realistic expectations that align with what's actually needed. Now, on the flip side, going all the way to the other extreme, the other example of having unrealistic expectations is maybe part of this all or nothing mentality is that you want something, but you aren't willing to sacrifice what's needed to actually get it. Right. So, and this is a really, really important one, because I think as we talk about fitness and nutrition and, you know, changing your body, like I think that going back to, you know, the Beachbody is a good example, but I think online in general, like we've made these expectations in the fitness industry that there's these transformations and you just need the right program and the right diet and you can get this shredded six pack just like everybody else in the photos. And if you don't, you're just not disciplined enough, you know, like you just got to try harder. But like, the reality is what you don't see is what actually is going on behind the scenes. You know, you don't see how long it took those people to get those transformations, to get those crazy abs. You don't see how much their life sucked to do it, how little energy they had, how hungry they were all the time, how many social obligations and dinners they had to pass on and say no thank you to. And for them, it apparently was worth it, right? In some cases, like, it was just like a, this is a, I'm proud of this accomplishment. I did this. And yeah, I sacrificed a lot of things. I didn't go out to happy hours. I didn't get the pizza, but this was worth it to me. In some cases, they're miserable and you don't see that. All you see is this smiling face of this crazy lean body that is taken at the best angle with the best lighting. And it makes you look like you're missing everything that they have. But that's just not what the reality is. And so I think this is a really, really important thing, is you have to be able to understand what is it actually going to take to achieve the thing that you want. And if you're not willing to give up what it takes to do that, then you can't have those expectations, because you're just going to drive yourself crazy, right? Like, if you want to get absolutely jacked, like you want to look like a bodybuilder, but you aren't willing to go lift 4 to 5 days a week and meal prep all of your own food into containers that have been perfectly measured and weighed and sit in a calorie deficit for weeks upon weeks, where you are literally at the point of probably poor hormonal health, right? To be able to look like this, then you should not want to look like a bodybuilder, because it's going to drive you crazy when these are not aligned. And I think the really, really hard thing that I definitely struggled with is that the leaner you get, at first, like, it's these small lifestyle changes, right? Like, I'm just going to drink more water instead of drinking sodas and juices. And okay, well, I'm just going to start cooking more of my own food and not going out to eat every day of the week. I'm going to cut back on drinking, right? Like, maybe I'm just going to drink on one night of the weekends instead of having wine every night. Like, those things in the beginning make it super, super easy to make progress. And so in your head, it's like, this is amazing. Like, I look at all the progress I'm making. You know, it always feels the best in the beginning, but then there's always a point where the progress slows down. And a big reason for that is very simple. The leaner you get, the more you will need a sacrifice to continue going. And one big reason for that is simply the fact that the less you weigh, the less calories you burn. So for example, like, if somebody weighs 270 pounds, let's say, they burn way more calories to simply stay alive and function than somebody who weighs 140 pounds. And that's a big disconnect from those two. But even at the smaller example, if you weigh 170 pounds and you get down to 150, the calories that it took you to get down to 150 might now just be pretty close to what your maintenance is to just stay 150. And when that's happening, to go even further, what does that mean? It means you have to reduce calories even more, right? And in some cases, that is doable. You know, you say, okay, well, this will happen with clients a lot. You know, like, we'll see some initial weight loss, we'll get down 10, 15 pounds, and then the weight will kind of stall, right? And we could do a whole different episode on plateaus and getting through plateaus and all that. I don't even consider it a plateau until you've literally been stuck for over a month. You know, like, I would give like 4 weeks before you're deciding that you're in a true plateau. But in that case, you only have a couple options. Like, one, you're either good at this weight and you want to chill here for a little bit, right? Maybe catch your breath before you keep going down further. Or two, you got to take calories down again. There is no really other option if you want to continue losing weight. And so you can hear that and it can feel disheartening, because you're like, oh my God, I got to eat even less, right? But I think that's the important part to think about, right? Because now you're starting to understand, okay, I got it. Now maybe it's not worth it, right? Maybe it's not worth going even further than where I am today, because there's like, this is so important. There's such a big difference between having obesity and being being at risk from a health perspective and from a metabolic health perspective versus I just want to look a little bit leaner, right? Like we all have weight that we probably feel pretty good in, feel our best in, where it's a good mix of, I feel healthy. I can move well. I can sleep well. I've got energy. My blood sugar is in a good place. My blood pressure is in a good place. All those pieces, but also like I'm able to live my life in a pretty decently fun way, right? Where you're not, it doesn't feel like you're sacrificing everything. Maybe you're not eating pizza every night and you're not going out to drinks all the time, but you're in a place where like, no, like this feels good. I can do this for a long time. And that's probably not going to be the point where you're like absolutely your leanest, most shreddest self, right? Like that point is probably going to be, you're going to be giving up things a little bit more than you probably want to. And it's different for everybody. Like some people, for guys, I would say, you know, when you start hitting probably like the somewhere between 10% body fat at the lowest to, you know, 13% body fat, people are going to start feeling like it's okay. I gotta really start giving up some more to be able to hit like that single digit, which is absolutely unnecessary, right? That's more of like, I just want to see if I could do it thing. For women, kind of around that, like, you know, 19 to 22, 23%. Below that, again, like you got to really start questioning, like if it's worth it. And some people have an easier time staying to that bottom part. Like some guys are easier staying at 10 to 11% versus 12 to 13%. That's a decently big difference, right? Because someone who's 10% needs to go down 1% and they're in single digits. Someone who's 13 has to drop like 3 or 4% body fat. And that is really important and something that, you know, I had a client that we were chatting a little bit, and she has done an awesome job building a ton of muscle over the last, I want to say year-ish now. You know, she's very lean, has good muscle mass, very active and very fit. And she was just, you know, had one of those moments where she was like, I think I want to go into a cut. She had the classic, which this has probably happened to everybody, certainly me, is that she was on vacation, saw a million pictures where she liked her body and thought she looked great, and then saw one picture at one angle that ruined everything and made her question everything and think about going into a calorie deficit immediately. And the conversation we were having is that she had said that, you know, every time I do that, for some reason, it's like, I'm so in, I'm like, I'm doing this, I'm going to lose some weight. And then I get like 2 weeks in and then I decide it's not worth it. And I'm like, I'm fine. Right. And I think that is like the perfect example, because in her head, she wants this body that's like a whole different level than where she's at now. Like she looks great. She's totally fit. She doesn't need anything else, right? But there's levels to this, just like anything else, right? Like someone who is a bodybuilder is like the black belt of the fitness world, right? From an aesthetic standpoint. And that requires an insane amount of sacrifice that's never going to be worth it for most people. And then there's everything in between that, right? So the reason why this is happening is she is realizing what it's actually going to take to achieve that. And it's the outcome, the expectation, the reality of what she wants simply just isn't actually worth what it's going to take. Right? Because her health's not on the line. She doesn't need to get any more lean. It's just kind of like a, I think I want to do that. And then once she starts doing that, she's like, I think I'm actually fine. And so that is just a very good example of it's so important to make sure that what you want and the action, the sacrifice, what you're willing to put in is actually aligned together. And if you end up going into that nothing phase, right? A lot of that could be coming from the fact that what you believe you want, you're never going to actually be willing to sacrifice to get it. And if you want the most extreme example, this is way more likely that that's going to continue happening, right? But what if there's a different way to look at it, right? What if we're not just looking at the most extreme outcome, the biggest achievement you could possibly get, right? Like, what if instead of thinking about, okay, I want to be this shredded person with this six pack, or I want to lose 50 pounds. Like, what if we look at it more in terms of how do I just start moving in that direction without ever actually having one solid destination that I need to land to actually be happy? Because here's the reality. If you're doing this, just praying that you can stay disciplined for long enough and just white knuckle it till you see and get your results, right? Like, oh, I finally got those six pack abs. Then you can go back to the old way of living. That's not going to work, because whatever you sacrifice to get there, you're mostly going to need to sacrifice to stay there. Right? So this is the biggest thing. Like, if you are trying to lose a bunch of weight and someone in your church group told you, like, hey, Mary, you just need to cut out all carbs and the weight just falls right off. Right? Well, maybe that's going to help. And the reality is why that helps is because cutting out carbs just cuts out calories. And so, yeah, you might drop a bunch of weight, but what happens then at the end? If you lose 40 pounds, are you okay never eating carbs again? Right? Do you not want to eat sourdough bread or any pizza or any pasta? Or what if you do? Well, then what happens when you reintroduce all that back in, right? Like, the things that you do to get to the place you want, you have to keep doing. Maybe not all the way, right? Like, you're probably always going to sacrifice a little bit more when you're in a calorie deficit than when you're in maintenance. But it's not, you can't go back to the old life that you had. Because whether we want to admit this or not, our current body, our current mindset, our current body weight, our muscle mass, all those things are completely reflective of our current lifestyle. They are. And it's important to admit that, because if we want it to be different, then we have to change our lifestyle. Right? So rather than focusing on, I have to be perfect, I have to do these things, I have to do everything that's the most extreme because I have to get this one specific result, we need to start thinking about how do we gradually take steps there so that when we do get there, it's something that we can actually maintain. And so if we can do that, if we can let go of this magical destination where once we reach that, we're happy, right? Because it doesn't exist. And the reality is, even if we do get there, we're probably going to want something different, right? We're going to want more than that. So if we can get rid of that, plus if we can get rid of this timeline that often is unrealistic, but also just puts unnecessary pressure on the goal itself. Like I said, when I was doing the P90X in my head, it was like, well, I have to do this in the next 90 days. Otherwise it's just not going to work, which is ridiculous. Right. But like, because I put this pressure in my head of this arbitrary timeline, when I realized it wasn't going to happen in 90 days, it was like, okay, well then I might as well just stop. Where in the reality is like, this is a lifelong journey. And so if you can just extend your timeline and say like, I don't really care how long it takes. I don't really care if I even end up in a specific exact way. I just want to get better. I just want to improve. Like I want to keep seeing my fitness improve. I want to keep building more muscle mass. I want to keep getting stronger and leaner and healthier. And wherever that ends up is where it ends up. But if I'm moving in the right direction, then isn't that all that matters? Right? Like fitness is not, and I said this in a post last week, fitness is not an on and off switch. Like it's not like a game of Jenga where if you pick the wrong block, everything falls apart. You have to start over. That's not how it works. It's more like a Lego set that you keep building over and over, right? Like if you drop a Lego block, you don't have to start the whole thing over. You just pick it up and then you keep going, right? And fitness is very, very similar. Because once you build it, all the muscle that you've built, even if you miss a week, nothing happens. You don't lose all the progress that you made. It's actually incredibly easy to maintain. And I think a better example of this is climbing a mountain. And if we think about, the biggest one, Mount Everest, there's a book that I read probably like a few years ago now. You've probably maybe read it too if you're into these types of books, called Into Thin Air. Very popular. I think it's the author John, I'm going to pronounce it totally wrong, John Krakow or something. John Krakow, Krakauer. I probably completely butchered that, which is okay. But the whole book follows him and his journey of climbing Mount Everest with a team. And I don't want to give away too much if you're going to read it, but it turned into like one of the most chaotic and one of the most dangerous and deadliest climbs like in the history of Everest. Not just with his team, but there's so many things that went wrong with just the plan itself from other teams that were also climbing the mountain at the same time. And it just gives you this like insane, it's a true story. It gives you this insane inside glimpse of what it takes to climb Mount Everest, which totally off subject, but it's just crazy. Like you never would think, obviously it's very, very hard and we all can picture that, but like the actual details of it and how unbelievably dangerous it is to do this is incredible. So I definitely recommend the book if you haven't read it. It's just like, it kind of like has you at the edge of your seat all the time. But I think this book and the idea of climbing Mount Everest goes so perfectly with everything that we're talking about today. Because here's the reality when you climb, like, and I didn't even know this until I read the book, but you can't climb a mountain like that in a day or a couple of days. Like, I can't remember how long it was, but it was over a month, I want to say, that they were up there. And like one big piece of that is because like you can't physically keep climbing and acclimate to the altitude fast enough. Your body literally has to adjust every time you get there. Otherwise, you risk the possibility of altitude sickness, which is literally going up and changing altitude too quickly. And your body is not being able to adjust fast enough. So you start getting nauseous, you start getting headaches, migraines, you start throwing up, dizziness. You literally like could develop symptoms where you don't even know where you are. And it definitely can be deadly. So you have to climb the mountain in these chunks and set up base camp, let your body adjust to the altitude overnight, and then go to the next step. here's like the really important part with that, right? Because once you're climbing, like let's say you start at the very bottom, you get up and you set up your next camp a couple levels up, right? Just because you stopped climbing doesn't mean that they lost their progress, right? Like for them, simply surviving the night at that new altitude without having to go back is a huge win, because now they can keep going. And this is the same exact thing with fitness or weight loss or whatever you're working on, right? Like a lot of people will say, you know, I've lost 5 pounds, but I just feel defeated because like I'm just staying at this new weight now and I can't keep progressing. But like here's the reality. Most people every year are gaining weight, just in general. Like the average person gains 2 pounds every year. And that's how weight, you know, slowly kind of creeps up over time until you realize like, oh man, I'm up 30 pounds from where I was 10 years ago. Like that's kind of crazy. But the fact that if you lost 5 pounds and now you're staying at that new weight and you're not gaining, that's a win, right? Maintenance is a win a lot of the times. So again, simply surviving at this new altitude is a very, very good thing for them. So imagine if someone's trying to climb Mount Everest and in their head, they're like, I gotta do this thing in 2 days. Otherwise I failed. Right. Right away. Obviously their expectations don't align with the reality from a timeline perspective. And imagine if they get up to like the second level where, all right, they got to stop there and they got to acclimate to this new altitude. And so they start getting dizzy and they kind of stop there and they're like, oh man, like I can't do it. I'm not going to finish this in 2 days. And so in their head, they're like, well, I might as well just quit and go back to the bottom, right? Until I want to try to do it again. Like how crazy would that be, right? That would be the unbelievably insane. And everybody would just be watching these people like try over and over again. They're like, you guys are idiots. Like, you can't, that's not how this works, right? But that's not really any different. Like, if we want to start building muscle and we're saying, I want to work out, you know, 3 or 4 days a week, and I haven't worked out in months, but like, I'm going to get 4 days in and I'm going to crush these workouts. And then you miss, you know, a week of workouts. Maybe you miss only 2 days of workouts, right? Like you say you're going to do 4 and you end up doing 2. Why would you stop? Why would you stop entirely? Like, why would you, it's the same thing. Why would you go back to the bottom of the mountain? If you got 2 weeks in of all these workouts, you're already up a couple levels on the mountain, right? Yeah, maybe you're not at the top. Maybe you're not, you haven't built this body that you want entirely. That's okay, right? Let's rest here and let's keep going. In the morning, it's the same exact thing. If you want to lose 20 pounds and you've only lost 2 pounds, are you going to stop because in your head, it should be faster progress, right? Like, is it better to just go back to where you were and lose 0 pounds then? No, you set up base camp. You keep going little by little until you get closer and closer to your eventual goal. And the other thing that's true about when they're climbing Everest is that the closer they got to the peak, the more inevitably dangerous and risky it became. And the more they had to sacrifice and risk everything, including their life, to continue going and getting closer and closer to the top. It became less and less worth continuing to reach the actual peak the closer they got to the peak. There's a point in the book that they talk about this where literally at the top of the peak, there's like this kind of like this back around to get to the very, very top of the highest altitude that you have to take turns to even be able to do it because it's not wide enough for a bunch of people to be on there at one time. And it's incredible because people are so, they want to say that they have been at the very, very top. They're literally willing to flirt with death because the amount of time it takes to get there and back, you might be out of oxygen already. And they are willing to to sacrifice and risk it all just to say they've reached the highest point. Right? And the same thing could be true again for fitness or weight loss. Like I said before, the leaner you get, the more you're going to have to sacrifice to continue going. And you have to, only you can answer if it's worth it. Right? There is no right answer. But that doesn't mean that you failed just because you didn't get to this magazine cover look that you imagine. Right? It doesn't mean that you quit. It doesn't mean you did nothing. And it doesn't mean that you do nothing because you can't get to that ultimate level. Because to get rid of the all or nothing thinking, you have to shift your belief that all is even a reality. It's not. You're always going to have to sacrifice something. If you want six-pack abs, you'll have to sacrifice a bunch of happy hours and pizza nights, right? Like, you're going to have to not eat out pretty much ever and make pretty much all of your own food, meal prep, weigh and measure your food, make sure that you're hitting the numbers spot on, and you're probably not going to feel the best. You're not going to have the best energy. Your workouts are going to feel a little bit rough. You're going to be hungry and your sleep might not be the greatest, but that's what it takes to be that shredded. If you want to drink all the time, right? If you want to have wine every night and you want to just be able to eat whatever and you don't want to cook your food because it's too inconvenient and you want to just eat out each day, well, the reality is then you're going to sacrifice a little bit of your health and you're going to sacrifice not being as lean as you probably want, right? There's always something that you will have to sacrifice. And so at the end of the day, the goal is to find what is that right spot for you that makes you feel like you aren't fully neglecting anything and are also at least content with the level of everything that you have. So in other words, balance, right? That's the easiest way to say it. But realize that there is no such thing as true balance, right? Like, it's never going to feel 100%. And I think this is the part where it's so important for us to understand this, because I think we often feel like we're doing something wrong because we don't feel 100% balanced. But the reality is that's just life. None of us feel 100% balanced. I am always thinking about, you know, if my workouts are super dialed in, then I'm probably thinking about like how I haven't been paying attention enough to this and doing, I didn't even post a podcast last week. Right. And I have these moments where I'm like, all right, I got to focus a little bit more on building this out. But then I might have a moment where I'm like, oh man, like I haven't really been paying attention to my fiance as much this past week. Or, you know, I had to give a little bit more attention to work. When I'm doing all those things, then I'm like, man, I think I gotta lose a couple pounds. I haven't been in the gym. I haven't been going as hard in the gym this past week as I wanted to. I missed a couple of workouts and I've been eating out a little bit too much the last 2 weeks. And it's like, I'm always recalibrating something. Right. And I think that's just normal. Like, unless you are somebody who is unbelievably dialed in, which at that point, you're probably not listening to this, honestly, because I'm probably not the guy for you. But if you feel that, if you feel like it's just something's always out of alignment, to some degree, there's nothing wrong with that. It's not easy. You will always realize that you're unbalanced somewhere, and you're always going to want to shift back. And I think that's the really important part, and that's where you can have fun with this. That's the fun part of the journey, is that you will get better. You will get better at balancing all of it to some degree, and you know, you'll figure things out where, like, for me, I realized that with my work, the business I'm building, planning a wedding, trying to continue my goal of building more muscle and staying fit, like 4 workouts a week where it's like these full workouts at the gym, lifting heavy, progressing each week, just started becoming unmanageable. It just wasn't realistic. And so now I've cut down to usually 3 workouts a week. Sometimes, honestly, even 2 if the week just gets too crazy. And then in between, I'll mix in, you know, like a, even like a 15, 20 minute session at home. That's maybe just like running on the treadmill for a little bit, mixed with some kettlebell work and some bands. It's probably nothing, anything that's too crazy, but if honestly, it's more so for my mental health, if anything, those types of sessions. And would I, am I progressing as fast as if I was doing 4 days in the gym of like really hard work? Probably not. Like I probably could make faster progress to some degree, but the reality is like the difference isn't that big. And in some cases, that might not even be true. I might be actually benefiting from the extra recovery right now. But the reality is it doesn't matter in my head. Like I'm still progressing. I'm still staying fit and I'm consistently working out every week, even if it is only 2 real ones each week. And that's okay, right? Like that is, I found something that has worked for me. The same thing for you. Like maybe the reality is you're going to have to settle and figure out like, okay, you know what? The way my work schedule is like, it's just really, really hard to make my meals for every single meal of the week, right? And so maybe a couple of days of the week or 3 days a week, you're going to have to buy lunch. But can you make that lunch a little bit different than what's usual, what you're usually getting, right? Like maybe it's not just like a giant sandwich with just salami and mayo and oil. And like maybe you find somewhere that has a little bit more protein and veggies and fiber, right? Like those places exist. You can get different things on different menus. It's not probably going to feel as fun, but that's okay, right? Like it's ultimately you had to decide what you're worth giving up. And I think this is all really, really important because at the end of the day, something is always going to be better than nothing, right? So if you really want to get rid of this all or nothing thinking, I have to be 100% perfect or it's 0% mentality, then you have to be able to settle for something, for the bare minimum. And a lot of that, I think, is really just focus on this is what I'm actually willing to do to move in a direction that gets me closer to my goal. And if that means that you have to adjust the speed at which you're going to reach that destination, then that's okay. Because if you're moving in that direction, that's really, really all that matters. So the next time you're thinking about, I got to be either 100% perfect and dialed in, or I'm not doing this thing, just stop. Catch yourself. Go replay this episode and ask yourself the question if your expectations are actually aligning with your reality. And I promise you that if you can almost take the pressure off yourself, right? Give yourself a little bit of grace and just focus on, you know what, like I'm going to do a little bit less than what I probably have in my head it requires. And the results are going to be a little bit slower, but I'm not going to stop. I'm just going to keep going and I'm going to continue trying and I'm going to continue improving and I'm going to keep getting better little by little every single week. Then I promise you, you're going to make way more progress in the next 6 to 12 months than you ever have before. Because as I have said a million times, and I'll continue to say it a million times, it is better to be 80% consistent for 30 years than 100% perfect for 30 days. And so I hope this has been helpful. I hope that you can relate to some of the things that I've talked about from my past. And, you know, I promise you again, like with all the people I work with, this is so unbelievably common that I promise you this is not you. You know, this is not just you're broken and that you just have this mentality that can't be fixed. Like we all struggle with it to varying degrees. So keep getting better at it. keep focusing on moving one step forward, take some of that pressure off yourself, and I hope you crush it. All right, guys. If that was helpful, again, I really appreciate the feedback. Leave a great review. Hit subscribe for future episodes, and I hope you all have a wonderful week. See you guys next time.